And praise the Lord for that great song. Take your Bibles tonight and go with me to 2 Corinthians chapter number 12 in your Bibles tonight. The book is 2 Corinthians and chapter number 12. Man, it's good to be saved. Man, it's good to know the Lord. I'll tell you what, it makes me glad and thankful to be an American. Amen. And I'm thankful to be back in a country where they actually have laws when you drive down the road. Amen. And you'll know what I mean when I, you'll know what I mean Sunday night. Amen. And Brother Bill, I'll tell you, it was culture shock for Brother Bill. He had a good time, but boy, when those, you know, when you got a two-lane road, that middle dotted line in the middle means absolutely nothing. Nothing. People drive down the middle, or if there's two cars, one just, you know, slowly aims over the line, and you got to just deal with it. That's how it is, you know. And then there's motorcycles going back and forth. And if the traffic on the other side is blocked, they will come out into your lane, the opposite direction on a motorcycle. That's normal life in a third world country. So that's why I say I'm glad that we live in a country where we have laws driving down the road. Amen? Amen. But anyhow, it's good to be back. I'm thankful that we have a free country that we live in. Amen? Amen. Thankful for God's goodness and thankful for God's richest blessings. 2 Corinthians chapter number 12. We're going to begin tonight with verse number 7 here. In the passage that we're going to read tonight, the Apostle Paul is speaking from his heart to the church of Corinth, and something teaches him thanksgiving here. Something teaches him about thankfulness. Can I tell you that thankfulness is a quality that every Christian ought to have? It's a Christian quality to be thankful. And, you know, it's always a case when ingratitude or unthankfulness hits us, it's always a case when we're not close to the Lord. It's always a case. But the Apostle Paul learns thankfulness through something here that I want to show you from God's Word tonight. So let's begin at verse number 7 of 2 Corinthians chapter 12 and follow along tonight as I read. And notice the Bible says here, Paul speaking, "And lest I should be exalted above measure through the abundance of the revelations, there was given to me a thorn in the flesh, the messenger of Satan to buffet me, lest I should be exalted above measure. For this thing I besought the Lord thrice, that it might depart from me. And he said unto me, My grace is sufficient for thee. My strength is made perfect in weakness. Most gladly, therefore, will I rather glory in my infirmities, that the power of Christ may rest upon me. Therefore, I take pleasure in infirmities, in reproaches, in necessities, in persecutions, in distresses for Christ's sake. For when I am weak, then am I strong." Let's pray tonight. Heavenly Father, thank you for your word tonight. Thank you, Lord, tonight for the privilege to once again open the Bible and preach your word tonight and how powerful and true it is. And God, tonight I pray that, Lord, a thanksgiving cultivated spirit would live in each one of our hearts. But not just tonight, but Lord, through every day of our lives. Because God, you're with us and you guide us and you provide for us every day without fail. And so, God, I pray tonight you teach us the passage of Scripture and, Lord, cultivate us in a greater thankful heart, Lord, for all that you've done for us. And we'll pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. In the passage that we just read here, the Apostle Paul says that there was something that was given to him that he did not want, that he did not ask for. Have you ever gotten something that you didn't ask for? If you haven't, just wait till Christmas. Amen? because there's surely no doubt something under that tree that you did not ask for. The Apostle Paul got something that he didn't ask God for, and it was a thorn in the flesh. Now, some people have speculated as to what that thorn of the flesh is. Some have said that Paul had poor eyesight, or that he had like cataracts. And of course, in his day, there was no simple surgery to take care of that. Some have said that the Apostle Paul had some kind of infirmity, or some kind of possibly a speech impediment, or some kind of thing that he considered to be this thorn in his flesh. And so it was so bad that the Apostle Paul called it the messenger of Satan. Imagine. The messenger of Satan is what he called this thorn in his flesh. But he said that it was given to me to buffet me, lest I should be exalted above measure. So he goes here to God and he says, God, would you take away this thorn in the flesh? And God says, no, Paul, I'm not going to take away that thorn in the flesh. I'm going to let you keep it. So he goes to God a second time and he says, God, would you take away this thorn in the flesh? The second time, God says, no, you need that thorn in your flesh. The Bible says three times, Paul went to God and he asked God, he said, God, would you take away this thorn out of my flesh? God three times said, no, I'm going to give you that thorn. But God had a purpose with that thorn. In verse 9, it says, he said unto me, my grace is sufficient for thee, for my strength is made perfect in weakness. Now, notice what he said. He did not say, I'm going to take it away. He said, I'm going to give you something to deal with it. And that is the grace of God. Can I tell you tonight that sometimes our biggest troubles in life that we think are our biggest troubles are really not our biggest troubles. They really are our biggest blessings. And the only reason we think that they are our greatest troubles is because we're not dealing with them with the grace of God in our life. The Apostle Paul said, God told him his grace is sufficient. He said, Paul, you don't need the thorn of the flesh taken away. You need grace through the thorn of the flesh. Now, I don't understand that. I don't always understand why God doesn't take away the thorns in the flesh or the afflictions that people deal with. I've always wondered why some people deal with some kind of fleshly malady or some kind of earthly trouble, and they deal with that many times all of their life, and God never takes it away. But I can tell you one thing. God said in his word, sometimes we don't need the thorn in the flesh taken away. Sometimes we just need the grace of God in the thorn of the flesh. And God said that is sufficient for us. So Paul responded, and here's what Paul learned through this. He responded this way in verse 9. He said, most gladly, therefore, will I rather glory in my infirmities that the power of Christ may rest upon me. Now, I want you to understand, the more grace that he had in his heart, in his life, in his afflictions, that was the ingredient that brought God's power into his life. It was not the taking away of the thorn of the flesh that brought God's power in his life. It was the grace of God strong in his heart through the thorn in the flesh that brought him to a place where he said, I think I can be happy with this. Because the grace of God was in him, and that grace was sufficient, and the power of God rested upon him. So he learned to thank God. He learned to thank God for his afflictions. And notice what he said in verse 10. He said, therefore, what do you mean therefore? He said, therefore, because of these infirmities and God's power resting upon me, he said, therefore, I take pleasure in infirmities. Was he crazy? Was he this kind of guy that, you know, was a glutton for punishment? You ever met anybody like that? Sometimes a teenager will act tough, you know, I'm tough. Come on up, punch me. I've wanted to do it sometimes. Amen? Come on, let's fight. But as soon as you hit them, they're going to walk away, run away, and scream to mama. Amen? But here, Paul says, I take pleasure in these infirmities, in reproaches that come against me, in necessities, times when I have a need. He said, take pleasure in all. He said, I've learned to be thankful for this thorn in the flesh. Because every time I have a thorn in the flesh, I find that the grace of God is sufficient for me. And that is what gives me God's power. So consequently, he says, most gladly will I welcome the infirmities that come upon me. Now, I'll be honest with you. I wish I could get to the place in the Christian life where I could say the same thing. I wish I could get to the place in the Christian life where I could say, Lord, the more infirmities you give me, the more happy I'm going to be. I don't think I'm there yet. And I don't want to ask God for patience either. Amen? I don't want to ask God for patience. But can I tell you something? Hear me. And this is the first point. And I want to give some thoughts tonight. And I want to preach on thankfulness. But I want to preach tonight on this thought. What makes us thankful? What is it that makes us thankful? And I think there's three scriptural things here tonight that make us thankful. There's probably many more. But I want to focus on three of them. And the first thing I want you to notice is through Paul's life, we see the things that cause us affliction are often things that make us thankful. You know, we probably all have a lot more good days than we do bad days. But isn't it funny how we remember the bad days? Isn't it funny how we remember the hardships we've gone through? Oh, I remember that day back. I'll never forget a day when I was a young pastor and took a bunch of kids to a youth conference. It was the most miserable day of my life. It was horrible. I mean, we left and we were taking a trailer back to Denver from Oklahoma City. We're going back to Denver and the ball on the trailer fell off. And it was like 12 o'clock at night. And we're in the middle of Kansas. And there ain't nothing in the middle of Kansas. And there's certainly not 2-inch balls for trailer hitches. So we unhooked the trailer, left it alongside the road, and went. As soon as we got about 10 miles further, we ran out of gas. And there still ain't nothing in Kansas. We had to push the van to the next exit. Now, mind you, it's a bunch of teenagers. It's about midnight. We're pushing the van, and we get that van all the way off the on-ramp, and we push it up a gentle hill. And I'm like, boys, move, go fast, push. And we're pushing into a town. I have no idea what's in that town. And it's midnight. Youth directors understand these things. Amen? And we come up across this place that had one light, and the light was dim, and it was dim and it would bright and then it would get dim and then it would get bright and get dim. And it was on one of these lock and key gas pumps. You ever seen those? You put the key in, you turn it, and you can get gas and they charge you. You know? A farmer drove by. We waved him down. Hey, you got a key to the gas pump? Sure enough, we got gas. Well, that still left me a problem. I had to go get a ball for the hitch. We went to the next town, couldn't find one. Went to the next town, couldn't find one. Got all the way to Lyman, Colorado, 6 a.m. in the morning. And I pulled into a truck stop. I said, man, they're going to have a ball. No ball anywhere. And a guy said, hey, I know a guy in town. He lives in a motel. And he collects ball hitches. That was his collection. So it's 6 a.m. in the morning. I'd been up all night long pushing the van down the highway. 6 a.m., I'm heading to a motel to meet a guy who collects ball hitches. That's right. On the way, I blow through a little stop sign. And guess what happens? Yep, you guessed it. There was a cop sitting right there. Gave me a ticket, and it took him like three times as long to give me that ticket. Needless to say, I went to the guy at the motel who lived in the motel, woke him up, and I bought a 2-inch ball. What a blessing. That, isn't it funny how we remember those kind of days? That was probably 25 years ago. But sometimes all our good days, we don't always remember. And here's why that is it because afflictions have a way of making us thankful. And every time I drove by that same highway, I said, while I had the air conditioning on, I drove by that spot and I said, remember that spot? Yep. Air keep blowing on me. Amen. See, afflictions have a way of making us thankful. Don't, listen, get to the place, we ought to get to the place in our Christian life where we learn to understand that if we can handle afflictions with grace, God's power will rest on us. And afflictions bring trouble. You know, I was studying Thanksgiving Day in our nation's history, and it's very, very interesting, this point. And let me make the point. In 1621, when the Mayflower landed in America, they had gotten off the 102 passengers got off of the Mayflower. They were on there for 66 days. They were in treacherous waters. They ran out of food. Some had gotten scurvy and malnutrition. And when they got off in 1621, the next year, the corn harvest was very good. And so because of the memory of that trip over on the Mayflower, they had a time of great Thanksgiving, 1621. In 1610, in the first settlement in America, Jamestown, after they declared an entire year of Thanksgiving. 1610 was an entire year of Thanksgiving. And the reason they declared it that way, because 1609 was a year of starvation. You see always how Thanksgiving comes through affliction? In 1777, all the colonies celebrated Thanksgiving. You know why? It was because they had won the Battle of Saratoga. In 1789, President Washington declared Thanksgiving Day because the war with England was finally over. There's something about affliction. There's something about trouble that just makes us thankful. On October 3rd, 1863, in the middle of the Civil War, is when Abraham Lincoln declared Thanksgiving a holiday the last Thursday of November. And that happened right in the middle of the Civil War. What's there to be thankful for when the country's divided? It's because affliction. When you take affliction with the grace of God, it has a way of making us thankful. Amen. 1942, President Franklin Roosevelt declared Thanksgiving. He originally set it on the last day, the 30th. Of November, and then moved it up because it was too close to Christmas. But that was right at the beginning of World War II and right after the country had just come out of the Depression. I'm saying to you tonight that oftentimes it's affliction that gives us trouble. In 1636, there was a German pastor named Martin Rinkert, and he had a very large church in Germany. But that year was called the 30 Years' War. And this German pastor, Martin Rinkert, is said to have buried 5,000 of his church members in 1 year. He said that an average of 15 per day he buried in his church because they were ravaged by war, death, and economic disaster. But in the heart of that darkness, he wrote an amazing song that's located in our songbook. Now thank we all our God with hearts and hands and voices, whose wondrous things hath done, in whom his world rejoices, who from our mother's arms hath led us in our way with countless gifts of love, and still is ours today. That's what came from affliction. I'm telling you tonight that affliction's not necessarily bad. Affliction can create thanksgiving in us. It can make us thankful. I don't know why it is we're not thankful enough when everything goes well. I don't understand why God has to send me trials and afflictions to cause me to be thankful. But God wants us to get to the place where we handle all affliction with grace, so that the power of Christ rests upon us. There's a second thing that makes us thankful. Secondly, the things that someone else doesn't have oftentimes makes us thankful. I wish I could take everybody on the mission field. I wish I could walk you to through the streets of the city that we walked through and passed out tracts and see the kids playing in the streets with just digging out food and whatever they could that's come down the pathway. I wish you could see a third world country. Makes you thankful that when you get in a place like America, you're thankful for what you have because you've seen what so many people don't have. My wife sent me pictures this past week. I think it was a cousin of Katie Joe's that hit a deer. Was that who that was, a cousin? She hit this deer, and it was a bloody mess. Saw the picture of the car. She hit the deer on the passenger side, and I kid you not, went through the windshield, broke the headrest, and half of the body of the deer rested in the back seat of her car. It was a bloody mess. There was chunks of meat all over the inside of the car. It was horrible. Titus wants deer for dinner. Amen? Yeah. This is a bloody mess. But I'll tell you something amazing. You looked at the driver's seat, and it didn't get touched. And you know what? When I looked at that picture, it made me thankful. Because even though I didn't even know the person involved in that accident, it made me thankful to know that those things could happen to me. And those things could happen to you. And sometimes we're just inches from death. And you know what? When others go through things, sometimes that's the reason that it makes us thankful. When we see somebody else going through sickness, it makes me thankful that I'm not sick today. When we see others that have no trouble. You know, I felt bad for a guy one time. He couldn't get in his car because he lost his keys. You ever felt bad for somebody that's lost their keys? I felt bad for somebody that's lost their key. I've lost my keys before. That's horrible. I was way up at camp, at a winter camp one time, and lost my keys. They fell out of my pocket when I was tubing on the hill. I went back the next summer and found them. You know how I found them? They had an orange Denver Bronco tag on them. Amen? And I found my keys. So it pays to be a Denver Bronco fan. Amen? I found my keys. But you see, when others go through trouble, it makes us thankful. It makes us thankful. There's a third time. It's when we actually think about what we have. When we take time to take stock of what we have. My goodness. So blessed of God we are. So many good things God has done for us, we don't even understand it. You know, the old Anglo-Saxon word for thankful is the word thinkful. T-H-I-N-K-F-U-L. Because they understood thanksgiving is thinking. It's thinking. It's thinking about what God has given you. It's taking stock of how God has blessed you. I think it's so important to stop and take stock sometimes. Amen. Amen. It's important to stop and take stock at what God has done, to think about the blessings. Charles Spurgeon was robbed one day when he was walking down the streets of London, and he came home to his wife to tell her the story about how he got robbed. And he said, "Thank the Lord anyway." And his wife said, "Thank the Lord, somebody stole your money?" He said, "No, my dear." He said, "There's three reasons I'm thankful. First of all, I'm thankful the robber just took my money and not my life. Secondly, I'm thankful that I had left most of my money at home and he really didn't rob me of that much." And he said, "Thirdly, I'm thankful to God that I was not the robber." You see, there's always something to be thankful for in every even negative situation if we learn to think and thank. Think and thank go together. We should call it Thanksgiving. Because thinking is thankfulness. Thankfulness. What are you thankful for? What are you thankful for? You know, it's a good exercise to openly open our mouth and say something that we're thankful for. What are we thankful for? You know, doesn't Romans 8:28 remind us that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are the called according to His purpose? So we need to be thankful for everything. We need to be thankful for the little things as well as the big. Thankful for the pillow. Thankful for what God has given to us. You know what? I'll be honest with you. I am not thankful for an indoor bathroom. But I'll tell you, those who've had to have an outhouse, they're more thankful for an indoor bathroom than I am. Because I never had to have an outhouse. And thank God I haven't. Amen? But I'll tell you what, the harder you've had it, the easier it is to be thankful. Because thank God, some things we don't have to endure. Some things the grace of God is just good to give us. God often just pours out blessings because sometimes He wants to. Sometimes it's just in His nature just to be good. Sometimes it doesn't even depend on everything we do or don't do. Sometimes it just depends on God and what He desires to do. He just likes to be a God of goodness. But we ought to thank God for that. You know, That's why I'm thankful I'm a Christian, because if I were a Muslim, I would be serving a God that would tell me to go kill people. And that's no God to me. That's not even God. That's not a God at all. That is a false, devilish philosophy that people have been soaking in all their life, and it gives them some kind of false sense of assurance, but it's certainly not God. It's not God. One Christian lady wrote this. She said, "I'm a Christian, but sometimes I forget to thank God for the things that haven't even happened." She said, "Not this year, but I'm grateful for the accidents I was not involved in, for the illnesses I never developed, and for the," something, I lost my announcement, lost it. Have to come back next Sunday to get the rest of it. No, I just found it, all right? I'm thankful the times I could have gotten mugged but wasn't. I'm thankful my house didn't burn down when I left the iron on for 5 hours. I'm thankful that when we left the garage door up all night long one night, nothing was taken. Sometimes I forget to thank God for something like electricity. By the way, come to the mission field with me and you'll learn to be thankful for electricity. Amen. Yeah. I'm thankful for indoor plumbing. I'm thankful for medicine. I'm thankful for the little things like a pillow, like a blanket, like heat when it's cold, and air when it's hot. I'm thankful for the small things. I'm thankful for the little things my kids do that make me laugh and that make me smile. Enter into his gates with thanksgiving. I'm glad I have someone to thank. I think that was well put. You see, thankfulness is something we have to think about. We have to think. If you were to sit down for an hour and make up a list of things that God's done for you, could you fill up a whole page? Could you fill up a whole book? I think if we really thought about it, we could. I think if we could sit and think about all the good things that God has done, I think our pen couldn't write them fast enough because of the enormity of God's goodness. The little things are just as wonderful as the big things. You know, somebody even said that, you know, this planet Earth that God put us on, if we were on one planet farther away from the sun, we'd freeze to death. And if God put us on one planet closer to the sun, we'd burn up. He put us right in the perfect place. Amen. But have you ever gotten up and said, "Lord, thank you, I'm on planet Earth"? But it truly is a blessing of God, because he sustains the earth. He hangs it on nothing. It's held on nothing but his word. That's all it takes. We should be thankful. Thankfulness for all that we have. Thankfulness for the things that we don't have. Thankful for the days when we wake up. Thankful for a day that goes good. But even if afflictions come that day, like Paul said, he said, "I've learned to take pleasure in those infirmities and those reproaches." Times when funds are low and debts are high, and you think God has forgotten you or failed you, let me remind you of how many times he's pulled you through. Right. Amen. Amen. Let me remind you of how many days that it looked dark and bleak, but you made it through one way or another. God took care of you. He didn't forsake you. He didn't leave you on the side. He didn't put you on the bench. He took care of you. He met your needs. So we have a lot to be thankful for. Let our pen roll with gratitude. Let the book be filled with all the things that we could stop and say, "Thank you, God, for." A shoes on my feet. Just a day when the sun shines or it doesn't shine. God is still good no matter what. Thankfulness. Are you thankful? Are you thankful this year? Does thankfulness well up in you? Is it a part of your life? Do you wake up every day with the thought of gratitude? I say to you today, we ought to let it. We ought to let thanksgiving and thankfulness control our day and our life. And you know, long after Thanksgiving's over, long after the turkey has been cleaned up and the leftover sandwiches are made and Thanksgiving passes, there should still be in our heart something that still has the same gratitude every day for what God has been good to give us and what God has withheld from us. You know, if you're a Christian, God has withheld from you a horrible, tormentous hell forever and ever. Thank God he's withheld that. Thank God he doesn't expect us to be perfect in order to withhold it. Thank God the blood of Jesus Christ is sufficient in order for him to withhold hell from us. And oh, we should be thankful and full of gratitude every day just for the simple fact that we get to wake up as a saved new creature in the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Amen. Let's bow our heads tonight. Let's close our eyes.